Ready, ready. Ready, Sham. So you're asking a question about Bhajana Kriya. In Bhajana Kriya, because from Bhajana Kriya, there's a Nartanivritti going to Nishta. So in this Bhajana Kriya, it said there's six types of Anishchita Bhajan. Vishnu Chakravarti is telling in Madhurya Kadambini, Utsahamai, Ganatarala, Vyuravikap, Vishaya Sangraha, Niyamakshama, Tarangarangani. So we can see, and the question is, how does one pass from one level to the next? So, Utsamayi. Utsamayi means the initial enthusiasm, right? You're enthusiastic. Well, the whole idea, I mean, we just take them one at a one. Utsaha mayi means being filled with excitement. It's something new. It's something different. But the idea is that if you only have enthusiasm at the beginning and don't sustain your enthusiasm, then it becomes anishchita. You know, one of the causes of being anishchita, not steady in bhajan, is you lose your enthusiasm. So you lose your enthusiasm to chant or to read, etc. So that these particular aspects, I don't think that it's you're going, because it doesn't explain it, I don't think you're passing from one to the other. It's not like it begins, it says utsahamayi, but it isn't, there's not a progression. Utsamayi to Tarangarangani. Because at any stage, any of these six forms of Anishchita Bhajan, beginning enthusiasm, and then it's simultaneously intense and thick and thin bhakti, intense and unsteady practice, these are all kind of happening simultaneously. Because your enthusiasm, you have initially you're enthusiastic, then your enthusiasm wanes, then your practices become less intense, and that's gana tarala. Gana means thick, and tarala means like a wave, it's just small, thin. So then after that, then it's Viravikalpa. So that can happen at any time. After you've been practicing bhakti for 1 year, after you're practicing bhakti for 15 years. Vyuta means war. Vikalpa means a war with sankalpa vikalpa, a war with accepting or rejecting. It's a battle, it's a conflict. Should I accept, should I reject? The battle, you know, view, I'm fighting between two sides of my mind. So I'm married 5 years. Oh, maybe I live alone in Vrindavan and do bhajan, so I leave my family. No, I should stay with my family till my kids get married. No, but then I'll be too old. So that can happen anytime. So it's not, these are independent stages that are simultaneously, you know, they've been going on. That's the third one. Then the next one is Vishaya Sangara. This means struggling with the senses, battling with sense gratification. So, in other words, we're not controlling our senses. So we try to do good bhakti, but then we slip into sense gratification, eating too much or overeating mostly. And then sometimes we win and sometimes we lose. That's the fourth one. And the fifth one is inability, niyamakshama. Niyamakshama means the inability to uphold or keep your vows. So someone may be following the four principles of Krishna Bhakti for many, many years. And then somehow he enters some bad stars, or he maybe makes some offense, or somehow he loses a taste. And then he may go into hard times and have difficulty where he can't seem to control his senses at all. We see many devotees, 10, 15 years, they're very good devotees. Then all of a sudden they bloop. We say they bloop, or they fall down. So they were steady. They were in control of their senses for 15 years. But then this thing came up where they couldn't keep their vows somehow, even though they were keeping for so many years. Then they fall away. Because of prarabdha karma, some unfinished karma is still within them, and somehow it again fructified. So that's the fifth one. And the sixth one is taranga rangani. Taranga means waves, and rangani means to delight or to enjoy. So that can come in any time. A new bhakta who happens to be a good musician, and he's a very good musician, and he just joins. And then he's a very good mridanga player, a very good harmonium player and singer. So then the temple is always saying, is always bringing him to all the pandal programs and to all the house programs. Here you sing, you sing nice bhajans. So then people start asking him, can you come? He starts getting famous, and he starts, and maybe he gets donations. So that can come right in the beginning. It's not like at the end of bhajan, before you pass through an artha nivritti and become nishta, you can get involved with this last point at any time. Someone might be 20 years a devotee and they're practicing. They've controlled their senses, they're very enthusiastic, all these other things they have. They're fixed in following their principles, they're fully controlling their senses, they're very enthusiastic, they're not battling with the senses, they're fixed in their ashram. They're not thinking, oh, I should take sannyas, I should take grihastha. They're fixed. Everything's fixed. But then, after 10 or 15 years of very good bhajan or bhakti, then Krishna may test them. They become famous. And when that fame comes, then they say, oh, yeah, I'm big this, I'm big that. Yeah, fly me first class. You want me to come to South America? I have to fly first class. Oh, I'm going to Delhi. I have to stay in a big fancy hotel. Oberoi, Hyatt Regency. Because now I'm a big guru, big sannyasi. So even though everything else is there, bhajan is steady, even he's some nishchitam bhakti, there's still not complete, not full nishta, because he's enjoying bhakti taranga, taranga rangani. So your question whether there's a transition from one to the other, I would say no, from what I can understand. I haven't seen this topic, but they're all going. They can all appear or disappear at different times in one's life. Obviously, when one is so, that means if that's still there, that's an anartha. These are all types of anarthas. So someone might be a very quote unquote senior devotee, but he's still not actually nishta. Is not a small thing. So before nishtha is an artha nivritti. So bhajan and kriya and an artha nivritti are going together. The bhajan, an artha nivritti is the condition of being free from unwanted things. An artha nivritti, that's the stage. But to get to that stage, you have to do bhajan. Right? So bhajan removes the anarthas and the aparads. And then you become nishtha, and you still do bhajan. Nishchita bhajan. Then ruchi bhajan. Then bhava bhajan. Then prem bhajan. So bhajan is continuous. Guru is continuous. Sarasanga. And faith is continuous. Sado shodatata sarasanga bhajana kriya. So there's Shraddha, Sarasanga, which means Shiksha Diksha Guru. Ado Shraddha Tata Sarasanga Bhajan Kriya. Then there's Bhajan. All these three go all the way through to Prema. Faith. Faith gets deeper and stronger. Sarasanga becomes higher class Sarasanga, better Shiksha and Guru Kripa. And then Ado Shraddha Tata Sarasanga. And then Bhajan. Bhajan goes all the way to Prema. Then it's Prema Bhajan. As you look at these, you can find, oh, this is what he's controlling his senses. He's fixed in his ashram. He's not fighting with the senses. He's following all the principles. He's very enthusiastic. But he's enjoying. Pratishtha. Recognition, honor. Or just, oh, Guru Maharaj, you know, take a big feast at our house. No, no, I just take some fruits. No, no, we cook this for you. Okay, okay. Guru has no disciples or 1 million disciples. He should still eat the same. Vachamegam Anasukodavegam. He's a yogi. Guru is a yogi. So there's some bogey coming in. So that is very hard to judge. This is the, we can't look at someone and say, oh, you're this person. We can't judge another person. So I see these are not that we should be aware of these things. It's not that it's not like a linear progress. I mean, everything in bhakti or devotion is not linear. Linear means going in a line, you know. Step one, go 5 feet forward, then step two, then 5 feet forward, step three. You know, the progress is, it goes, you're going in a circle, and you're going back, and then another circle, and back. The progress is a change of consciousness. It's a change of consciousness, a change of heart, a change of outlook. These are all very subtle things. We say purification of consciousness, chaito dharpana marjanam, chit dharpana marjanam. So consciousness is formless. It's chit, it's formless. This body, this room, this house, this street, it all has form, length and width and depth. But spiritual progress is amorphous. We have some idea. These are words and terms to give us some idea about increments or changes in consciousness. It's not linear. Okay, utsamai, initial enthusiasm, and then it wanes. It's considered that this is a symptom of anishtita bhakti if it wanes. If it diminishes, decreases. Because when Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita is giving the characteristics of the devotee, he says, first thing he says is, he says, what does he say? Utsa Nishchaya. He says, Utsa Nishchaya Daya. First thing he says, these are the six qualities that you need to be a good devotee. Confidence and hope and steadiness and enthusiasm. Utsa nischaya darya. So these are different experiences, or let's say stages of the consciousness, as the consciousness is becoming purified. You're steady, you're enthusiastic, you're pure, you're strict. You're free from desire to enjoy. they call this bhajana kriya. Then there's an artha nivritti. An artha nivritti. But then when you see the next stage, what he calls stages, an artha nivritti, is also overlapping with the other one. I would say this Bhajana Kriya, what he's describing here, these are all attitudes, these are all feelings and attitudes. Attitudes and feelings. Utsahamai Ganatarala Vyuravikalpa Nya Makshama Tarangarangani. It's talking about the mind. It's about the mind and the heart, the feelings of the heart, or the weakness of the mind, or the strength of the mind. To leave that grihastha ashram, become a sannyasi, that's a battle of the mind. So now, when he gets into anartha nivritti, he starts talking about anarthas and aparads. These are actual qualities and actions. Like save aparads. Anyway, I haven't read the book in a long time. But basically, we do bhakti bhajan. Even because this book came out, you know, some 1700s or 1750 or whatever. But since time immemorial, devotees have been doing bhajan. As far as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, everyone was doing bhajan for 200 years before this book, Madhurya Kadambini, came out with such a very minute analysis of bhajan. So then, if they didn't have this book, they wouldn't even be dealing with all these questions that you're asking, and all these different divisions and sections, because I don't see them described in such minute detail in other places. This is subjective presentation and analysis, very in-depth and very clear analysis of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. But if you read the original books of bhajan and teachings for the Gaudiya Sampradaya, and that's, of course, Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das and Jiva, they talk about the general stage in Artha Nivritti and Bhajana Kriya, that we do bhajan and we get free. There's aparas and anarthas. You know, they discuss in a very more simplistic way the steps to purification. The main aparads, we have to, and a whole book, there's a whole Chaitanya Bhagavad by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is the incarnation of Vedavyas. And he doesn't go into all this minute description. He emphasizes one thing and one thing only. Two things, I would say. Harinam Sankirtan, and don't make Vaishnava Aparad. 3,000 verses about different devotees that made Aparad and how it was a mistake. All about warning about Vaishnava Aparad. Ganatarala and all these things, and Vyudhavikalpa. These are amazing. Some amazing psychological and emotional analysis of the psyche and mentality of the bhakta. A phenomenal scientific presentation by Vishwanath. But even without knowing that book, where all the nuances or details, everyone knows, as is presented everywhere, we have to become free from kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. And the best way to do that is to chant the holy name, associate and hear from and learn from advanced devotees, and serve the guru with faith and dedication and sincerity and enthusiasm. And look at the Upadeshamrita. Rupa Goswami is our main Mahajan. Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Jiva Goswami. And he's telling the essence. It's called Upadesh Amritam. The essence of instructions. So Amritam means, the nectar of instruction. Upadesh. So nectar, that's all you need. If you get nectar, Amritam, you get health, you get strength, and you get longevity. That's why it's called Amrit. Mrit. Or Mrityu means death. And Amrit means no death. So if you're very, very healthy and live a long time, that's like you're deathless to some extent. Amrit. So Upadesh Amrit. These instructions are all you need to become eternal. These instructions are the essence of what you need to become perfect. So you look at that, and we don't see in there this very in-depth analysis of a bhajana kriya and artha nivritti. Vachu vegam, anasakrota vegam. Of course, it's all there in a very broader concept. Control the mind, control the belly, control the tongue. Controlling the mind includes all these fine subdivisions that we find in Madhurya Kadambini, like Ganatarala, Usamayi, and Niyama, Akshama, not struggling with the four principles or whatever. So these are all mental, as I said. These are all very in-depth analysis of mentalities and thinkings and feelings, the thoughts and psychology and heart of the Vaishnava. But it's a very technical book, and there isn't that many very in-depth commentaries. That's why you read one very popular one, and still you have questions. And I don't propose to have very clear, deep understanding of all those points either. But I would say that the essence of Bhakti Bhajan, which is the nine Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, and avoiding all aparads, namaparads and dhammaparads, and this much is told in Nectar of Devotion also. With Nectar of Instruction, Upadesh Amrita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's two books of Amrit, Bhakti Rasa Amritam Sindhu, and then Upadesh Amrit. So these two Amrits, one is a whole glass of Amrit, and one is an ocean, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That's an ocean of nectarian instructions. By following the instructions and teachings of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Upadesha Amrita and nothing else, I'm sure one can attain perfection in Bhakti Bhajan. So there he talks about the 64 limbs of devotional service. Sri Rupa Goswami describes the 64 limbs of devotional service, beginning with taking shelter of a guru, then diksha, then shiksha, and on. And the five most important limbs of devotion, living in Braj, etc. So we follow all these things and all the teachings of Upadeshamrita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, even without Madhurya Kadambini, and I'm sure we'll get prema. And I'm sure we'll attain the spiritual world and realize our siddhadeya and live eternally serving Radha and Krishna. Even if you can't figure out all the psychological variegatedness and nuances of the Madhurya Kadambini, or even if you hear a very erudite, I have heard classes on this book by some of the more famous Gaudiya Vaishnava scholars, but even after I heard it all, still, when it was all said and done, I thought, wow, that's really a lot of complication. I prefer Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada's formula: chant, dance, and take prasad.